Somebody say disciple. The Bible didn't tell us to go ye throughout all the world and get church members. Say, go ye throughout all the world and make what? Make ye disciples. Don't be distracted. Stay on the word of God. Somebody asked Brother Osteen, well, how many are you running down there? Brother Osteen said, I'm not running anybody. He said, I'm not in the book of Numbers. I'm over in the book of Acts. Book of Numbers, they counted everything because they could only go by what they saw. So they had to count everybody and say, how are we doing? We can only deal with God in the flesh. So they had to count everything. But when they got over to the New Testament, they jumped over into the book of Acts. Amen. It all went by what the Holy Ghost did. Holy Ghost said, don't count anything. Just do what I tell you to do. And don't worry, I'll do the rest. Be obedient. Let God do the rest. So he told us to go ye throughout all the world and make disciples. How many of you are ready for that? How many of you are ready to do that? Well, you're going to be judged by what you do and what you don't do. All right. First of all, a disciple is D. Write down the letter D for disciple. And if you want to be blessed, how many of you want to be blessed? Just anybody can do this. Do you know anybody can do this? You can do this no matter what ministry. If you have helps, your helps ministry will produce this. If you're a pastor, your pastoral ministry will do this. You can start immediately. You can get this and save yourself a lot of time, stress, and anxiety. Because this is what ministry, all ministry should produce this. Making of disciples. So D, the first thing about making a disciple, when you need to train somebody, how many of you are starting to train people? As you grow up in the Lord, you're going to start to multiply yourself. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. Everything produces, every seed produces after its own kind. Everybody is going to produce something. Did you know that? Not just when you jump into some ministry and you get your ministry license, you will produce something. And you got to get, and you usually produce what you are. Okay, you usually produce what you are. And we're going to help you out by telling you that the type of disciple that Christ wants you to make. Now, tap somebody on the shoulder and say, you're going to lead people and guide people and help people. Did you know that? And you're going to have to make disciples. Yes. And you're going forth to do what God tells you to do. And many people mess up. What we've noticed, like I've noticed some things where you look at people that are leaders. You know, God makes leaders. God makes leaders. You're going to have good leaders and bad leaders. You ever notice that? You get into a clique in high school. I mean, you can find a leader. Every gang has a leader. Every cult has a leader. There's always leaders, and leaders always influence others. People will always have an influence on others. And you got to realize that when God puts you in the place to where you step in, when you start to look around and you find, hey, my life is affecting somebody else. My life is affecting somebody else. Then you need to be responsible for that grace that God's put on you. Because you're going to give an account for everything you do. And everything you say, you're going to give an account for that. And when you lead people, you want to lead them, one, you want to make disciples, and you want that first disciple to be, one, devoted. Write the word devoted down. Devoted. Now, devotion, do you know what I've learned? Now, you can tell it's the truth. People will come to church, but they won't get anything until they learn, until they get to the point to where they will first become devoted. I mean, they say, I can't stand him. I like the way he preaches sometimes. But it starts with devotion. Somebody told me one time they were going to a church in Dallas. They were going to Bob Tilton's church. He was a wild man. And they said, well, we love the church, but we hated him. Well, you're not going to get anything like that. The first thing you got to realize, and even when you start to deal in your life, when you start to make investment, is you're going to sow seed into other individuals, and you start to teach people and lead people and guide people, you want to find out, first of all, who's devoted. Who's devoted? And not just, I mean, you know, who's devoted? Are they going to be there? Do they really mean what they say? Are they devoted? And in your relationships, you want to have relationships of devotion. Devotion to one another. Let your relationships be based in that. Say that no matter what, when you get people that are devoted to one another, it just happens around them. You know, when you get a relationship's devoted, you know, that means you can come to me and tell me the worst, and I'm devoted to you. What you do is not going to affect me. It's not going to change me. There's devotion there. I choose to love you, amen, no matter what. There's a choice. There's a gift behind it, and that gift is called devotion. And you must, first of all, teach people devotion, because I tell you what, when you bring a baby Christian into this thing, how many have been a baby Christian before? Everybody, right? Well, listen, you bring a baby Christian to a thing, the devil is going to use everything within his ability to stop them, to distract them, and to deter them. And if you're not careful, he might even use you. Wow. But so you're going to have to teach them something. The first lesson you're going to have to teach anyone or any disciple or any person you get when you want to help them is devotion. You must be devoted. All right? And devotion goes with loyalty, commitment, and devotion. So, you know, that's what we build churches on, and that's what we build ministries on. We build it on Jesus Christ, the rock, amen, but when it comes to relationship, it's based on that look. It's not based on how talented somebody is. Find that in here. It's not based on that stuff. That's none of the reason it's based. Well, oh, the Holy Ghost is moving. The Holy Ghost moves everywhere, amen. You just open your heart, he'll move. But what is a ministry based on? Guess what it's based on? It's based on Jesus Christ, a vision, and a call. And guess what? Everybody else comes around that vision and call, and they enjoy being around each other. They love each other. Devotion. Devotion. Did you know this one did that? I don't care. I'm devoted. That's my friend. That's my friend. I love that person. It does not matter. Now, how many of you got children and family members? You know, we've been engrafted into a family. Well, we have to pick up that same mentality when it comes to brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We got to learn to get over things. Now, how many had brothers and sisters that broke into your room? Or anybody? Name some of the weird things your brothers and sisters and relatives have done to you. Weren't you able to get over it? Weren't you able to get over it? I mean, how many of your parents, your kids did something or said something, had you believed something that wasn't necessarily was the truth? And you got over it, right? Well, it's the same thing about Christians. It helps you deal with things. Hey, that's your sister. Forget all this other stuff. It's not worth it. That's your sister. That's your brother. Who cares? What do you want me to do about that? That's my brother. I don't care. Did you hear this? It does not matter. That's my brother. That's my sister. What do you want me to do? We are grafted in one blood and one love. And love covers a multitude of sin. The body of Christ at large has gotten to the point to where we allow certain things or mentalities that come about us that should never come about us. We should not even think in that arena when it's brothers and sisters. Amen? Look at somebody and say, so what? I choose to love them. That doesn't mean you don't correct people. There are certain people that need to be corrected and dealt with and helped and ushered. But you know what? When people love people, it don't matter. When it's based in devotion, you can stand up in anything because people are going to be challenged. Second part that a disciple needs to have, one, integrity. Uh-oh. Somebody say devotion. And integrity. And somebody say, oh, we need to teach them the deep things. Well, these are the deep things. This is what you're deep in. This is what you're laughing about. We got drunk in the Holy Ghost. This is what we're drunk about. We're drunk to the fact that Jesus Christ saved us and washed us from sin, that we can be devoted to one another when we didn't have that ability to do it before. But also, discipleship is based in integrity. You can't go anywhere without integrity. And what is the root of integrity? I was trying to look up that word because how do we explain it? It's incorruptibility. When someone has integrity, they are uncorruptible. That means they can't be corrupted. They are sound. They are complete. And they are honest. I said, there's one thing that I just can't take. One thing that's really hard for me to deal with, and when I really think it's a serious problem, when you just say, forget it. I can't do anything with that. That's lies. Lies steal life. Write that down. Lying steals life because we are all living based on the truth. We relate to one another by what we believe reality is. And when someone starts lying, they start to take your life away. And when someone lies about it, there is no reality or there's nothing really there to work with. That person is no longer there when they start to lie. It's an imagination, amen? It's false. So first of all, they got to be in truth, no matter what. If you're going to have a disciple, that relationship is based in truth. Tell me anything. You would not believe some of the things I've heard. Just make sure it's the truth. First of all, because I'm devoted to you. I'm devoted to you. You can tell me, my head will not spin around. I come close a couple of times. But I made it a point, look, when you got that love there, say, hey, look, brother, this love is not my love. This love is the love of Christ that I'm experiencing. That means it came from Jesus. So if Jesus trusts you enough to put his love in my heart for you, that means I can flow with this. This love is not my love. It's God's love, so it can't be shaken. Yes. Integrity. Integrity. And when you find, you know, when you step outside of the realm of integrity, it's painful because you don't know who you're loving at that point. Just tell the truth. And you got to make that say, first of all, no, people will choose. When you get people that come in from the world and they think, I'm just so messed up, they won't accept, won't love me. If you only knew what I did. And you know, it's the most blessed thing when people can trust you to the point to where they don't have to fake in front of you. They do exactly what they, now there should be some type of reverence and honor when you come there because of that, amen. But you should at least be true. And people always hide in boxes. And there was one person, I just can't take it anymore. I just got to tell you, this is what I was doing. This is where I came from. This is what I came from. This is the type of lifestyle that I came out of. And somebody just said, just let it all out. And they said, after they did it, took about a couple hours. I said, man, I feel so much better. And looked at me in my face like, what do you say about that? What are you going to do about that? I said, pass the coffee. Whoop-de-doo. It's not based where you come from. It matters on where you're going. Doesn't matter where you come from. It matters where you're going. And you got to take people for what they are, who they are, and you choose to love them no matter what. And it's based in integrity. Just tell the truth. Do we get that? Another thing that you must teach your disciples or instill into your disciples, and when you're discipling someone. And also, if you want to be a disciple, how many of you want to? You know there are blessings in being a disciple? There are blessings with being a disciple. And discipleship will work at this point. Well, when you sit up under the Word, you're basically being discipled. When you're sitting up under the Word, or you come to church, you go to Bible school, you come to receive something from God, right? You come to get something. You come to have something imparted to you. So in order to get something from someone, say, I didn't get anything. Well, are you a disciple? Remember the thing we taught? Well, I didn't get fed. Did you eat? The food was there. Did you eat? I ate. I'm full. Well, it's how you come. Did you come to church loyal and devoted? Are you devoted? Are you loyal? Or do you have integrity when you come? Are you coming in truth? In truth. Are you honest when you come? Is there an agenda? So you know, people will come with agendas. And you know, I've noticed that when people come with an agenda, they sit out for one thing and you say, well, that's what they got me believing that they are. But there's another something else behind that you don't know about. And then they don't receive anything because they're not in truth. They're not in truth. You're sitting out there, I'm thinking you're just like everybody else. And that you're seeking to hear, we're talking about these things, and you're getting, that the truth is that you're really trying to get where we go, where we're wanting to go. But you're not wanting to go there, so you're not in truth. You're in disguise. Be in truth. Okay? The other thing that you must install in them is D is what? Devoted, right? I is integrity. And we understand what integrity, it just means truthful. Just means honest with where you are. And integrity also, when someone walks in integrity, it also means that they have a code of ethics. No matter how bad they get, they're not going to violate those code of ethics. No matter what, I mean, we might get into it, but I can guarantee you that guy's got a code of ethics that he won't violate. He's got some governing values that he will not violate. I mean, some of the governing values is that I don't lie. Is his code of ethics. He has integrity that he won't lie. Or integrity would mean that we know each other. How many of you know some things about us? And you know, and when someone brings some stuff, they say, nah, can't be. Because I know the person. We as a body of Christ should live transparent before one another and without judgment. And when you live a double standard, you're not living in integrity. We shouldn't have to hide from each other. We should be open and transparent. That doesn't mean sin. And if you bring a bunch of sin out there, we're going to deal with your sin. Amen? But bring it out and let people see and accept you. The S, D-I-S, servanthood. Servanthood. If you raise disciples, listen, people need to come in and learn about servanthood. Don't wait till they sit in church for 3 years, 6 months, 7 months. They come in and sit there. They think that's what disciples do. They just come in, sit, and listen. Come in, sit, and listen. No, we have to teach them from the start. And it's up to everybody. Hey, look, God's got a gift in you. There's a grace in you. That there's something about every disciple they need to learn that you have a ministry that God wants to use. And you have to open the door for them to step into that ministry. Because when Jesus comes, he's going to judge everybody by his word and by did they fulfill their call? Did they fulfill their destiny? So you want to teach them about servanthood. Isn't that wonderful? So you got something you can do, start it right away. And if we wait to start people in service, they never do it. But if we start them right away, it's just engrafted into them. Servanthood has got to be installed in them. And many people fall away because they're never taught servanthood. Did you know that? The devil will come at them and he'll say, well, you just need to forget it and give up. You need to forget it and forgive up. But if they had a ministry that they were doing, they think, well, if I don't do this, this won't. It kind of helps them a little bit. It gets them involved. So if you want to hold on, if you want to be a good disciple, get a ministry. We can't tell you what to do, but get a ministry, because the devil will come at you and try to get you to leave, try to get you to quit, try to get you to give up, and he'll start, and you start hitting those D's. Go to the D, you know. That devotion might get challenged. And when devotion is out, when the D's out, you don't feel so loyal because, you know, you believe in something. I don't want to be loyal to that. And, you know, and integrity might be shaken, but maybe that S will be there, servanthood. That servanthood will keep you. I got a ministry. And you might not realize this, you have a ministry. And people love you, and there's something about Jesus they will only get unless you do it. Amen? You might not be able to do what somebody else can do, but you can do what you can do. And every disciple needs to realize what their gift is, what their ministry is. You can start today. Somebody say, oh, I got to get this. No, you can start today. Your gift is already in. You can start today. Nobody's holding you back. You can step out today. There are no limits. I told somebody, I said, have you ever been stopped from doing what God told you to do? Well, what was your excuse? Nobody's stopping you. Go for it. That's a good way to find out what you're called to do and what you're not called to do. Are you able to do it? So one, the D is one, they have to be devoted. The I, they have to have integrity. The S, they've got to learn servanthood. Are y'all getting these? Okay. C, they must be compliant. Wow. How many of you have seen people mess up on any of these areas? How many of you have been challenged to mess up? I've messed myself up in ministry because nobody told me these things. You know, you got to come to church. You got to have all those other things. But another thing about you, you've got to be compliant. Well, compliant means submissive. That means you got to be able to give a little bit. How do you tell, say compliant? Complaint. Are you complainant or compliant? That means God's trying to get you to change a little bit. Amen. Well, discipleship's meaning that someone's discipling you or training you into something that, you know, that's different. Well, if somebody's going to change some things in your life, you got to be able to give a little bit, right? Give a little bit. Submit just a little bit to certain things. Be able to change. How many have been challenged to change since you've been here? In every relationship, it calls you to change. How many had to change some things you just didn't like to change? It ticked you off. Anybody been there? Oh, come on now. Well, that means God hadn't gotten in your business yet. If it hadn't ticked you off yet, it's coming. I tell you what, it will tick you off. You'll get into some stuff that you got wrapped up and you know, and got scriptures misquoted to prove you right when you're definitely wrong. And he'll get in your business. And usually when God starts to get in people's business, a couple things happen. Either they become compliant to what the Holy Ghost is trying to do in their life, or they'll start becoming complainants. Complaining, 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 complaining. And usually when you catch people complaining about something, that means that there's something that God's trying to hit them on that they don't want to become compliant in. Somebody say compliance or complaints. Now listen, when you go to minister to people, we're learning, church. Hallelujah. When you start hearing complaints, and when somebody comes to you complaining and griping, there's an area in their life that the Holy Ghost is trying to do something in that they are not compliant on. Well, complaints come out of what? Rebellion. Notice that they were in the wilderness, for 40 years because they were rebellious. And what was they went from praise to what? Complaints. So complaints mean what? Lack of compliance and rebellion. Always. How many of you want to help people and minister to people and you want to get them out of a ditch? And see, many times, people that aren't trained and don't know the things of God, they will hear people come in and they'll let that person complain for 15, 30, 40 minutes. Instead of them helping the person, they go and get in on it with them. Well, I know what you're talking about. I felt the same way. I know exactly. And they feed on it and they build it up. Well, do you want to help people or hurt people? Is that going to help anybody? How many ever had a complaint and went to a brother or sister? Come on now. Well, I mean, you can get on the phone with people. If you're not, oh, yeah, you'll get on the phone, and that opportunity will come. And you start hearing stuff. You start hearing stuff, and you could jump on that phone and jump right on in with it. Or you can have integrity. And what's integrity? A governing value or a principle or a code of ethics to say, look, I don't care where you're at. I don't care what the person did. I just don't go there. Complaints mean a lack of compliance. What you're saying might be true, and everything might be true, but still there's an area that you need to comply to. Amen? Isn't that good? Amen. So you can go and minister to that person, and you can shut it down. And it might not have to do anything what they're complaining about. Just wait, or just circle around a bit. When you see us preaching and walking, we're circling around, trying to find out where to land. When you start hearing those things, be quiet for a bit and just listen. And if you hear complaints, there's usually an area that they need to become replying in, and it's usually in the area of rebellion. Rebellion and complaints go together. Another thing, if someone starts complaining, try to get them off track with the complaining and get them into praise. Praise. Get them to start to praise God. Well, praise God. Well, isn't it? Somebody said, well, isn't that person a dirty, nasty dog? Probably so. Hallelujah. But, well, let's find, isn't that person a dirty, nasty dog and doing this and doing that? Well, whatever. Who cares? Really? Who cares? So what? What has that got to do with me? Well, let's find a good one. We didn't mark that one up real good. Now let's see if we can go through all of the array of people to trash, and let's try to find one good one. And start giving them solutions. Say, hey, can we talk about Mother Teresa? I mean, wake them up. Okay, say, this is no fun talking about this. I said, now, since we don't got nobody good in the church, we can't talk good about anybody in church, now we have to stretch outside the church. Let's start looking at Lakewood. How do you feel about that one? Okay, you don't like Dodie, amen. Okay, well, let's skip on over. We'll find somebody. Get them over to praise. Get them over to praise and get them over to a good report. Amen. Help them. Isn't that good? Another thing you need to teach your disciples when they grow up. Four great things. Aren't these? How many want to be teachers? The opportunity will come. We're looking for teachers to help people and disciple people and stuff like that. But they got to have all these things down. Amen. Because every teacher gets people that are just like them. Oh, my gosh. I mean, if you're out there starting mess and confusion and you go teaching the class, that means everybody that come out of your class is going to have a PhD in confusion, a BS in strife. Hallelujah. I look at people real quick and I see who they're hanging out. I said, oh, they're in school. They're going to have disciples real soon. They're going to pop up. And you know, Jesus told the Pharisees that same thing. He said, you make them 7 times more or 10 times more the devil that you are. Oh, my word. How many disciples you have? You got some. What are you making out of your disciples? How can you find out? You got disciples. And you know what you need to do? You need to listen to your disciples to find out what you are. Now, I can talk about people in my church, but I can tell you what, whatever I got in my church is what I am, because every tree produces fruit after itself. What kind of person are you? Find out what kind of friends you got. And all your friends cheating, stealing, and gossiping? You are a cheating, stealing, gossiping person. If you're in the church and the whole church is in sin, guess what? You're in sin too. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. The ones that get me are the ones that, I mean, they call you up and within 40 minutes you didn't heard about every one of their friends and then all of them are going down the drain. You know what I'm saying? But that one that called you was the only one shining the light. Okay, I. Guess what I would be for? Can anybody guess it? I got a good little nugget on this one. This is real quiet, but it's good. I is for intercessor. You'll find a true disciple, if you're really discipling correctly, your disciple will be able to become an intercessor. How do you find an intercessor? Well, an intercessor means they learn to pray is one thing, but another thing is if you walk with somebody, talk with someone, you teach with somebody, you can send them out for you. That means you can start to trust them. I'm to the point, listen, when we create disciples and stuff like that, you can have my checkbook because I trust you. You can be a go-between. I can give you my life. That means, somebody say discipleship. That means they have the ability to represent you. Oh, my goodness. Didn't Jesus do that? He taught them and walked with them, and then he gave them his name. Wow. See, so why are people so strong about people that they disciple? Well, because they are going to give that individual their name. That person is going to become their intercessor. And you're never going to be able to come someone's intercessor until you start to, first of all, intercede. We had a Tuesday night class, and guess what they taught on? How to pray for your pastor. How to pray for the pastor. A whole class on that, and it was good. Well, listen, don't expect to minister under anybody's ministry until you've taken a season to intercede for that individual. Wow. Isn't that good? How many are intercessors? Intercessors. Well, you have to pray. Pray for that person that you're working with or that ministry that you're working with, and have your disciples pray for you at that point. Now listen, if they're having pray for me too, but have them pray for you. And let them pray for you so much that they become engrafted with your heart. Amen? Engrafted with your heart. And you can go with anybody, like, it just so happens when you do things well, you don't have to brainwash people. Everybody ever called, I mean, people that work around here in this office staff, we don't get rid of anybody. They get rid of themselves. Amen. They just can't work. And the ones that stay, they become intercessors. What does intercessor mean? You don't have to be here. They're going to say the same thing. Sometimes they say it a lot harder than I do, but they'll say the same thing. Somebody say intercessors. Y'all want to know a good term? When I looked up the word intercessor, one of the things that was one of the words that they used closely with that was intercessor or succeeder. Now, intercessor, you will not become a successor until you become an intercessor. The intercessor becomes the successor. Now, a successor is a person that stands for that person when that person can no longer stand for themselves. Now, Elisha became Elijah's successor. But before he was his successor, he was his intercessor. From intercession to succession. Well, what is the root word to succession? Success. Well, a ministry that wants to go on. And now you look at Lakewood Church. People say when John Osteen dies, that church is going to close down because he's not raising anybody else up. He didn't have to pick anybody. But you know who took over? His intercessor. Right after he left, the intercessor became the successor. Successors will have success. A ministry that has successors, there are going to be many successors. But a ministry with successors that came out of intercession will have success. How many of you want to have success in your life and in your ministry? Train your people right. Train them right and disciple them right. You owe it to the Lord and you owe it to yourself. Another reason that you need to become, it's D is for what? I is for what? S is for what? C is for what? I is for what? P. This is a good one. This is a real easy one. Disciples must become this. Pleasant. That's real easy. Isn't that easy? You want to become a disciple? Guess what? You can't be. You must be pleasant. Amen. There's a scripture in the Bible that even talks about this. It said, don't make those that rule over you or those that teach you, don't make their work ruling hard. Don't make it hard. Amen. And when you get people, you might get a Bible study or a little principal class or a prayer group or something like that. And you say, listen, if we're going to disciple you, first, you got to do something too. You got to be pleasant. Yes. Amen. You got to be pleasant. Yes. That means you're going to come into the kingdom of God. You come in and God saves you and washes you. But in order for you to get something back, you got to first come, but just don't come, but come pleasantly. Come with the right spirit and the right heart. Amen. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Come pleasant. Pleasant people get blessed. Look at somebody and say, just be nice. Say, discipleship won't work until you turn pleasant. Yes, just be happy. Be pleasant. You'll get anything from anybody when you're pleasant. Amen. You'll get a raise on your job. I don't care how hard you work. If you're not a pleasant person to be around, guess what? You ain't getting nothing. You can slack on your job and be pleasant and get more money. Just be pleasant. I just love having pleasant people around. I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, I just love them. They're just such a joy to be around. And some of them you get around, boy, your hair stand up on the back of the head by the time you just slime out of the car. I mean, they open the car door and you just slime out of the car, you know? How many of you ever just went to church and you looked around and looked at it and said, oh, my God, what is this? Pleasant. Pleasant. How do you get pleasant? You work on it. Where's being pleasant start? At the coffee bar. We look at you in the face and there's certain, I mean, you look at some smiles and different things you see and boy, your heart just go, wow.
I want to bless them, God. Hallelujah. Pleasant, you know. And it's, you know, they walk through the door. When people come through that door, we should come to church early so they can be around all the pleasant people. Somebody say pleasants instead of hit by the peasants. They need to come through the door and catch all the pleasants so they can forget all the peasants. There's always peasants out there, always poor mouthing, trashing, you know, always on the outskirts. But we should have more pleasants than peasants. Are you a pleasant or a peasant? We're going to have a transformation service. Amen. Say, we want to get rid of your peasant mentality, unmannerly ways, and give you a pleasant mentality. Just be nice. Hang your anointing cape up on the corner and get lesson 101. Be pleasant. Put your oil on the back shelf, close it, and lock it. Amen? Peasant potion. And get yourself some pleasant stuff. And one word, you know, the root word to pleasant, what's the root to pleasant? When I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary, it was just agreeable. Oh, my word. Isn't that easy? You can agree. That means faith will work around those kind of people. The prayer of agreement will allow things to happen, and you can get stuff done. That means you can get done when people agree, and when they're in agreement, you can get more stuff done than when you're in disagreement. And Jesus based his church on the spirit of agreement and unity. It's so pleasant. And when a person is not pleasant, you cannot fellowship with them because they cannot agree with you on any good thing. When people aren't pleasant, they are not faking. They are not pleasant. When they're manifesting their fruit, if they're acting that way, they are that way. And your faith will not work around them. They will short you out. You've got to be nice. And pleasantness also goes with agreeableness. And you need to write agreeable with that. So you need to tell the people that you work with, say, you must be pleasant, and it'll be easy for you to be pleasant when you agree with me. Say, agree with me or leave me. I mean, how many of you would love to get married with somebody you just agree with? You know, wouldn't it be great? I'm going to ask you, hey, honey, come on and marry me, but I'm not going to agree with anything you say, and I don't want you to agree with me. We're just going to have a wonderful life together. We'll go and we'll do, just don't agree with anything I say. You got to agree, glory to God. You got to start with something. If you can't agree on the colors, you better agree on some Jell-O. L is a real easy one. What do you got to be? If you're pleasant, what do you got to be? Loving. You've got to run them through love. I mean, you got to love people, glory to God. I mean, your heart should pitter-pat, not just when you see your wife, but when you see a church member along the hall, your heart should go boom, 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 boom. People say, don't they make you sick? Boom, boom. I love you, glory to God. I love you. You see, there should be something there. Yes. You need to work on it until you get it. Boy, I mean, when you get people that you're in agreement with and you're in fellowship with people and you're in a discipleship relationship or something, you hear something on the other line, that love in your heart said, don't let me come through these circuits on this telephone. Don't let me swim through here. Yes, love. You know what? You come, I want you to be around here, but you're going to have to come in here until you fall in love with me and everybody else. I mean, you should get a real warm pitter-pat in your heart. Even though you're a rough, tough guy, you should see Lucy Joy coming, and you should be looking around the corner of the trees. Here comes Sister Lucy. I love Sister Lucy. Amen? There's a little guy, I think he's your grandson, that comes in, and boy, that kid is loving. Amen? You're going to see. I mean, that's what it should be like. That's what it should be like. That's the umbrella of protection. I'd rather have people loving me than slobbering in tongues over me. I'd like to have them both, amen, but I had to choose. I'd rather take the love. Jesus went up on the cross and loved us. He didn't go up on the cross and speak in tongues. He loved us. Loved us. And we need to learn what the power of love can do. So you need to teach them about love. And all those other things will help us do this more effectively. And one thing that you have got to instill in your disciples, excellence. Jesus tried to teach his disciples excellence when he said, look, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go with them two. Excellence. Okay. Tell somebody, stand up and do that real quick. Just say, work it. Just, yes. See, that's how the Holy Ghost does things. When you grow up in Jesus, you stop doing things piddly. And you stop doing things half-heartedly and slack. I mean, God starts to bless you and prosper you, and you get involved with something, you get involved with it, and just don't do it. Forget Nike slogan. Don't just do it. Work it. Work it. Do it with excellence. Overdo it. Isn't that all right? Jesus overdid it.
God, when he does things for you, he overdid that song. He said, giving it, come back to you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. That's working it. Give it to God, and he'll work it. Well, give it to you, you should work it too. That means when somebody gets around, when you get a disciple, make sure your disciples flow in excellence, that you don't have to worry about a thing. Yes. You know, God wants you to do it that way too. Train your kids that way. Amen. They're just not going to do exactly what you told you, you know, exactly that. Told me to wash the dishes, I'm going to wash the dishes exactly. Amen. But excellence should be there. Excellence. So teach them to do excellence, because there's so many slackers. I don't want anybody doing anything that just going, okay, just to the jot to the letter of the law. No, they're going to get creative about it. They're going to put their spirit into it. They're going to put their heart in it. They're going to fold the toilet paper. Amen. They're going to learn a new chord. They're going to put speckles in the carpet. Somebody say excellence. And your employees should fall in the same thing. Say, look, I don't expect you just to do it. I want excellence. And that's just the extra nub. Now, excellence goes with this, people. Write down the word virtue. Potency. Life. Excellence comes with power. You won't get excellence. The spirit of excellence won't come about over anything you do. The spirit of excellence means they do what you tell them to do with power and virtue. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Now, see, Jesus gave us the law. He gave us the, you know, Moses gave us the law. Jesus came and gave us the instructions on how to do it. Then the Holy Ghost came and he empowered us so that we can do it with what? Excellence. Isn't that great? Isn't it great? Say, the Holy Ghost and the anointing allows us to do his word with excellence. Isn't that good? All right. D, stand up. D, shout it out. I is what? S is what? C is what? I is what? P is what? L is what? E is what? And what does that spell? Disciple.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.